ICE agents consistently refusing to show identification during their immigration raids is proving problematic.
How do you verify that who you're responding to in that help call is a legitimate federal agent? They should be required to provide some level of identification.
A big court ruling on insurance coverage for hard-to-see smoke damages.
I've seen pictures. I've been in homes that you would walk in and not want to take a breath. And Fair Plan would say, well, because it can be cleaned up, it's not going to be covered.
Welcome to a short and simple hump day edition for the LA Local for Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, who's been suffering from a different kind of smoke damage ever since my college years, if you know what I mean. Coming up on today's Local, both the LAPD and LA City leadership are growing wary of the militia-style ICE raids and all of the complications they bring with them. A big ruling on California's Fair Plan coverage of smoke damages from wildfires comes just in time for people in Altadena and the Palisades, and the wildlife crossing in Agoura Hills takes one step closer to being critter ready. Let's start with an episode that played out yesterday in downtown LA that started as a kidnapping call and quickly turned into a confusing and potentially dangerous gathering of masked ICE agents, the LAPD, and angry protesters. Our man in City Hall, Craig Figner, reports that city leaders are warning that if these types of scenarios keep happening, they're courting disaster.
There's enormous outrage over these videos online. One was recorded very recently in downtown Los Angeles. It shows masked people in tactical gear, believed to be federal ICE agents, although they will not identify themselves. They are seen, what I saw, handcuffing a woman. You hear this all happening in the background, people screaming and yelling as it's happening. They handcuff her, put her into an SUV, and at the same time, looks like, and it's my count here, it looks like a dozen LAPD officers are there. They're keeping watch on the crowd, on the angry crowd. KNX News has learned that this all started as a 911 call of a possible kidnapping. Officers responded and then encountered this unannounced ICE activity. Los Angeles Councilmember Monica Rodriguez says LAPD needs some type of new rules and needs them fast in order to prevent vigilantes from posing as federal agents and getting away with kidnappings.
How do you verify that who you're responding to in that help call is a legitimate federal agent? They should be required to provide some level of identification. We could be liable for aiding and abetting criminals. There should be some lawful procedure for them to figure that out, and that's what I transmitted to the police commission to urge Chief McDonald to do this. What's happening is absolutely wrong.
LAPD Chief Jim McDonald says LAPD used to, as a matter of policy, get a regular heads up from any federal law enforcement agency or any local law enforcement agency that was doing some type of activity within the city limits of Los Angeles. He says that all stopped under the Trump administration. At LA City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News 97.1 FM.
In spite of an avalanche of complaints, concerns, and warnings about the trademark ICE approach of masked up agents who refuse to identify themselves, neither the Homeland Security Department nor the Justice Department seem to care that much about making changes. On to a big ruling with direct impacts for past, present, and future wildfire victims. An LA County Superior Court judge has ruled that California's Fair Plan, which is the insurer of last resort for nearly 600,000 homeowners in the state living in high fire risk areas, is not providing enough coverage and payouts for smoke damages after wildfires. Homeowners under the Fair Plan have long complained that it shortchanged them over smoke damages. This is a really important ruling for many homeowners affected by fires in Pacific Palisades and Altadena back in January. Our Margaret Carrero got an explanation on today's pivotal ruling from insurance industry expert and agent Carl Sussman.
Can you first start with explaining the current insurance code in the Fair Plan when it comes to reimbursement or coverage for smoke damage?
California Fair Plan currently has, in their definition of smoke damage, a type of language that will prevent them from paying depending on if the damage is permanent and depending on whether the damage can be seen or smelled. That is contrary to what the insurance regulations in California have in place.
What does the state have in place regarding that?
Well, the state does not put any limitation on there being permanent damage, whether it can be cleaned or not. If it's damaged, it's damaged. The state law also does not say that you have to be able to see it or smell it. If there's damage, there's damage. If it's microscopic, it doesn't make it any less damaged. The state requirement does not permit the policy to exclude paying for testing to be able to ascertain whether there's actually damage there or not. The Fair Plan's language has been in conflict with the state's regulations for quite some time. It's been about, I think, 7 years or so ago, 6 years maybe, the Department of Insurance actually did an entire market conduct hearing with the FAIR Plan, found them in violation, told them to update their language, and for whatever reason, they simply did not do it.
You know, homeowners have been complaining for a while that the rules under the FAIR Plan were unfair, that they set up a nearly impossible to prove standard of permanent physical changes to a property from smoke damage. Did they have a point in that?
Absolutely. It was definitely a bar that was next to impossible to achieve. I've seen pictures, I've been in homes that you would walk in and not want to take a breath. And FAIR Plan would say, well, because it can be cleaned up, it's not going to be covered. And again, that's not the way the regulations in California are. That's not the standard that every insurance company in the state of California is held to. FAIR Plan has just sort of been doing their own thing.
What kinds of cost increases might changes in smoke damage standards mean for the FAIR Plan? Like, how much more money would have to be paid out, and can the FAIR Plan afford it?
Well, it's hard to know specifically what numbers we're looking at because, again, you hear the loud minority, right? The majority of claims were total losses. There's obviously a large number of people who have partial losses and are suffering a lot from this type of smoke damage. And I'm making air quotes for smoke damage because it's not just smoke, right? We're talking about soot. We're talking about ash. We're talking about things that got into the house. With these fires, we had windows that were literally sucked out, and just this calamity of air quality was pushed into the house. So you can imagine everything that's in the house is covered in this toxic ash from these toxic fumes. So it's hard to try and come up with a number until they've actually gone back. And it also depends on how much are they going to make them pay. More importantly, or I suppose as importantly, we need to keep in mind that since this is going to be an exposure that the FAIR Plan is going to need to cover going forward, it would be reasonable for us to expect that premiums we're going to be paying are going to go up with the FAIR Plan.
Sussman tells us that the insurance companies operating in California that financially back the FAIR Plan will likely have to kick in more money to cover these new smoke damage losses. And if you paid attention to what he said there at the end, premiums for FAIR Plan customers will almost certainly go up after this ruling. So that's fun. Finally, let's end with something positive and hopeful for a change. Thank goodness. The wildlife corridor spanning the 101 freeway up in Agoura Hills in northwestern LA County, it's about a year away from completion. Our John Baird explains the next steps that will eventually provide safe passage to countless numbers of our little animal neighbors.
The main part is done, the bridge over the 101 freeway itself, but there's still plenty to do, like move the utility lines and then extend the bridge over Agoura Road, which is parallel to the freeway. That way, animals won't get hit by cars on the side road either. Beth Pratt is with the National Wildlife Federation. She's thrilled that they're moving into phase two.
So we're going to be extending the structure you see now over that road. And so just this continuous river of green where the wildlife will not have to touch pavement to get to the two open spaces on either side.
It will be a zoo up there for sure.
I can't think of an animal that won't use it, but of course the animal we're most interested in, at least immediately, is the mountain lion. And we will be taking bets on when that first mountain lion will cross once it's open.
When it's all said and done, it's supposed to be the largest wildlife bridge in the world.
I'm not sure if they're planning on setting up live streaming cameras on top of the wildlife crossing when it's completed, but if they do, they would get massive ratings. It would make the Eagle's Nest camera from up in Big Bear look like peanuts. This has been the LA Local for June 25th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I mean, I, for one, would be glued to that thing. You watching the mountain lions crisscross the 101 in real time, star of the show. So cool. Stay safe out there, Southern California. See you tomorrow.